I am the door. That's what he says. I am the door. And if any man enter in by me, he shall go in and out and find pleasure, rest for his soul. He's the door. And he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Everybody that will refuse to come to the feast. You know, he said one place that a certain man made a feast and he sent his servants out to the highways, byways, and invited folks to come. Some made excuses. Some said, well, I just bought a farm. I'll have to take care of that. Fellow said, I bought some oxen. I'll have to try them. Fellow said, I got married. I can't be away from my wife. They all gave excuses for not coming to the feast. Our Lord said, go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Come into the feast. Those that refuse to come to the feast are like thieves and robbers, because they think down deep in their heart of hearts that there's another way. But there's no other way. See? But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter hath opened, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They heard his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. If others came, which they were, and indicated that there was some other way, if you do this or do that, there's folks who misunderstand the application of the law, who feel that the law is your guide and you do the best you can and try to live within the spirit of that law, why God somehow will overlook your mistakes and descriptions and so forth and let you in. But all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear it. I'm the door, and by me, if any man enter in, enter into this rest, he shall be saved. He shall be saved from the penalty of his sins, be saved from his sins, be saved from the fear of death, be saved from the fear of the law, be saved from the dominion of the devil. Be saved. The whole man, body, soul, and spirit. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he that's a hireling, that is just working for you for wages, but he that's a hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. He sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for his sheep. And I know my sheep. I know who they are. I know their names. I've always known them. I know them in eternity. I know them in God's eternal election. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. And they know me. This is eternal life. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sayest. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. So know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. That's what we're doing now, preaching the gospel. So everybody, we, brethren in England, Brother Bill and Ken has got this radio broadcast, this school over in Africa. And I got a letter from Bill Clark here the other day, and he got 400 and some letters. 1 month, 400 and some letters from Africa, where all this trouble is over in Africa about apartheid and unrest and rebellion among the blacks and the whites. 400 letters of someone's interested in the gospel. That's something, isn't it? Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, down in Mexico, Yucatan. Brother Milton, Brother Walter, looking for his sheep. Them also I must bring. I must bring them. He'll bring them. He's the objective of God in the preaching of the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Is to save those that he chose in the covenant in days gone by. He's going to save them by laying their sins on the head of the covenant keeper, the Lord Jesus. Well, they hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And they shall be one. Shall be in one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews because of what he said. Many of them said, well, he's got a devil and he's mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you and you believe not. Unbelief. That's what sends a man to hell. He will not believe. He will not believe. He will not trust Christ. He won't do it. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. You don't believe because you're not of my sheep. That's the reason for your unbelief. You're not of my sheep. My sheep, listen. My sheep hear my voice. I read that to you. They shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. Over here he says, ye are not of my sheep, but ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. Over here he says, and they shall hear my voice. One fold and one shepherd. But ye believe not. You don't believe. Why? You don't want to. You have no desire to. You don't see no need of it because you're not of my sheep. I've already said unto you, my sheep, hear my voice. They hear my voice. Remember I read to you in Acts, was chapter 22 there this morning? Paul said in the talking about his conversion, he said there's a whole bunch of people around there, and he said they all seen the light. But he said nobody heard the voice of God except Paul. Why didn't the others hear the voice of God? Well, ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. He says over here, I know my sheep and have known of mine. Other sheep I have which are not in this fold, them also I bring. They shall hear my voice. But you don't hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them. And they follow me. Then it goes on. And I give unto them eternal life. Give it to them. Who? His sheep. Who did he lay down his life for? His sheep. What about these others over here? He said, "Ye believe not because you're not my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. They won't perish. The devil will not get them before they get to their design journey. They won't fatally fall and perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." True believers never perish. The true children of God will never perish. I'll tell you why. Because they're God's special property. They're His special property. It's like you have a piece of special property and you put a sign on that to say, "No trespassing." God's put a sign on His sheep that says, "No trespassing, special property." Alright, they shall never perish because they're His special property. And the second reason is because they're servants of His house. And the third reason is because they're members of His family. They are children of His adoption. They're children of His selection. Children of His election. Now, the question arises, will the Lord Jesus Christ let them be overthrown by their enemy? These that are His sheep, these that He said He laid down His life for, these that He said, "I know them and am known of thine, of them, they know me and I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." Will they be overthrown? No, sir. He will watch over them as tenderly as we watch over our own children. We got to give God more credit than what we were willing to take ourselves in the watch care of our own children. Well, we wouldn't. If we had the power to prohibit any type of sickness or any pain or anything that's depressing to come upon our children, if we had the power to prohibit that, would we not engage all of our energy and activity to prohibit anything from happening to our children? Our children are bone of our bone, blood of our blood. We'll do anything for our children. Anything. Make any difference what it is. Don't make any difference what they've done. We'll still go to the bottom of the well. Isn't that right? For our children. Let's give God as much credit, at least, as we give ourselves. They're not going to be overthrown, Darrell. The children of God by election, adoption, servants of His house, members of His family, bone of His bone, they're not going to be overthrown by the devil and fatally and finally perish along the way. Oh, listen. He'll guard them just as we guard our children and just as we guard our valuable possessions. He guards us. Listen to me. Would He have died for them? Would He have laid down His life for His sheep if He intended so? somewhere along the way to give them up. He never intended to give them up. When he died for them, the question of sin was settled once and for all. Their sin, the penalty that was due their sin as sinners and rebels, he's their guaranteed surety. And he's going to take care of every liability that they owe God. He's going to take care of every bit of it. Satisfy God. He's going to save them completely. He's going to save the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And if he didn't intend to do that, he'd have never laid down his life. But he laid down his life. And it says here, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. They hear me. How do they hear him? He unstops their ears. He puts the balm of Gilead on their eyes that they might see. And when they hear the voice that I'm the Savior, I died for you. I paid what you owe. They gladly embrace him. They go, he's mine and I'm his. That's what I need to hear. And they receive him. And they bow before him. They acknowledge him as their God and their Lord and their Savior. They look nowhere else. They hear his voice and they follow him. And they won't give him up. They won't give him up. Give him up. That's one evidence of a true sheep. He won't give up his shepherd. He'll follow on. He'll follow behind his shepherd, even when he doesn't know where he's going, and he doesn't understand. And the way is dark and dreary. But if the shepherd leads, he'll go. He'll go. Oh my soul, they shall never perish. They follow me, I give unto them eternal life. Not only is he speaking of quantity, but he's speaking of quality. Life. Give him life. He's our life. We talk about this fellow, and he needs to change his lifestyle. Lifestyle ain't got anything to do with it. Christ is his lifestyle. Christ is his life. Have life, and he's got Christ, he's got life. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. They won't perish. They won't perish. These preachers going around telling people, well, you believe in Jesus and do the best you can from now on. He's done something for you up to this point, but it's up to you from now on. There ain't no good news in that. They're going to perish. The man who believes that God done something for him for his past life from his birth up until his reception or his belief in Jesus Christ, God's taking care of that, but he's got to take care of the rest. That's not eternal life. That's not eternal. He's going to perish. He's going to fall by the way. He's going to go out from us. Because if he had been one of us, he'd have remained with us. He'll go out from us. He'll finally, fatally perish if he's trusting in himself or trusting in his self-righteousness, which is all the same. Man trusts in himself, he's trusting in his self-righteousness. We go outside of ourselves to trust in him. We hear what he did for us. We find out who he is, the eternal Son of the eternal God, become a man. We know that he's got power to do what he promised. He promises eternal life to the sinner that will trust him. And the Bible says, let me read this to you. Over here in the book of Philippians, I think. Listen to this. Paul says, I thank God. Thank my God upon every remembrance of you people there at Philippi. sheep of God. And every time you cross my mind, I remember you, I thank God for you. What he said. Oh, it's in every prayer of mine. For you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until right now. I thank God every time I think of it. Being confident. Paul says, being confident of this very thing. This is what gives me confidence, Paul said. That he, that's God himself, which hath begun a good work in you. He's begun something in you. Confident that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. They shall never perish. Huh? Does not the Bible say, I believe in 1 Peter. Let me look at that a minute. Listen to this. He's talking here about the strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus, Cappadocia, these places, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For who? The sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Listen. Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Verse 5. Listen to this. Who? As the sheep. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to my sheep, he says. Listen. Verse 5. Who are kept, K-E-P-T, kept by the power of God through faith under salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If I know anything about language, he's saying that the man that God has begun a good work in, God shall complete it unto the day of salvation or the day of redemption. He shall complete that. The man that starts shall finish it because God says that he'll see to it that we're kept by the power of God. We'll be kept on the way and in the way and in Christ and safe by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That is, I believe today, I believe tonight, I believe this morning, I believe this afternoon, I believe this evening, I believe now. What is Jubilee? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Him as He's revealed in the Bible. I believe in the electing love and grace of God given in me in Christ Jesus before the world began. I believe who I am, a sinner by nature and by choice, by practice. Not any good thing in me. Everything's corrupt and abominable in the sight of God. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came and stood in my place instead, determined, predestinated to pay what was my due. And I believe that the Holy Spirit quickened me from my dead state and gave me life, gave me repentance, brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. And my salvation doesn't depend upon me. My salvation depends upon His obedience. I believe that. I believed it yesterday. I believed it this morning. I believed it this evening. I believe it now. And by the grace of God, I'll believe it tomorrow. I'm kept through faith. See what I'm talking about? I'm kept through believing. It's not that I believed one time about 40 years ago or 35 or something like that, and that was all there was to it. I believe every day. Lord, I believe. Kevin, help thou my unbelief. Well, that's what he says. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Listen to this. He said, my Father, verse 29, which gave them me, is greater than all, my Father. And no man is able to pluck them, the sheep of God, out of my Father's hand. Nobody's able to do that. Does not Paul say the same thing over here in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans? When he says here, who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn a child of God? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, who is it that condemned? Nobody. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's gonna step in and do something? Whether it be situation, circumstance, or the power of the devil and fallen angels. Can they somehow come in upon us and separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus and bring us to a state that we refuse to believe and turn our back on the Lord Jesus Christ? Can they do that? Who is that? Raise your hand, they say, that shall separate us. How we ought to rejoice. Oh, what assurance God has given to His people. Well, I wish everybody had it, don't you? I wish everybody felt that way. I wouldn't have to worry about church members not coming to church, would I? They believed that. They'd say, I want to please God. I desire to please Him. Oh, if this will move in that direction just a little bit, even though I don't see it or don't understand it, well, it ain't too difficult for me. I'll do it. Oh, listen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, hard times, persecution, people, well, you know, look down their nose at you and say, well, he's so religious and he's holier than thou, and he goes to church all the time. He wants to talk about Jesus all the time, and I get so tired of him talking about the Bible and that kind of stuff, and they just misrepresent you and misuse you and abuse you. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it's written, he said, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as what? Sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more. More. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, God, if we can't be separated by anything in this life, we can't be separated from the love of God by anything in death. Death is our day of exaltation. It's a day of graduation. It's when you get your diploma. It's when you see Him who loved you and gave Himself for us. Nothing in death. He's taken all the sting out of death by destroying sin and the world and the devil and bruised the head of the devil. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, bad or good, principalities, powers in unseen places, nor things present, right now, nor things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ain't that fine? That's fine. My sheep. Does that preach sheep? Give some life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. And when He shall appear, we shall also appear with Him. Well, the Lord bless these.